And the same time there arose no small stir about the way. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, who made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. Now you've got to keep that record straight. This Demetrius was a wonderful leader, tremendous charisma, ability, personality, everything that went with it. Very sincere, very religious. Because Diana of the Ephesians was a religion, very sincere. And they were making silver shrines, medallions and other things for Diana of the Ephesians, which they sold, which in turn brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, unto the workers. That's what they made their living out of. Whom, verse 25, he called together with workmen of like occupation. And he said, sirs, you know that by this craft or by this work, we have our income, our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. Verse 27. So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worships. Quite a speaker, isn't he? Quite a union leader. Quite a religious leader. That's right. Really something. Well, if all Asia and the world worships it, what's he stewing about? That's right. Like if I would take a shot for something that was supposed to keep me from communicating a disease of some kind. If that does the job and all of you have had that shot, why do you want to compel me to take it? Because if you've got the shot and it'll do the job, what are you afraid of? Then if I got the disease, I couldn't hurt you because you were immunized or something, whatever it is. Right? Then why do you want to compel me to have it? If all Asia worships and everybody, what is he worried about? A little group called the Way that Paul was advocating. I sort of smell there's something wrong a little bit. It had already given you the key previously. What was bothering him is that the Word of God was straightening out some people and was hitting those birds in the pocketbook. That's right. That's what he said. They brought no small gain unto whom? When it says no small gain, that means perhaps 150% profit. That means perhaps 1,500% profit. And what was happening is the teaching of the word was getting to some of the people. And instead of wearing those medallions and buying those silver shrines to Diana, they said, now wait a minute. Where is the power in that? And so he called all of them together of like craft, the union meeting. And of course, if you really want to get people's dandruff up, get them all lathered up, you hit them on two things, religion and money. That's right. Why, just read it as plain as day. He said, not only is this our craft in danger to be set at what? I mean, verse 27, you read it yourselves, written the same Bible. But also that the temple of the great goddess Diana, one of the wonders of the world, who it was, should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worships. Well, if all Asia and the world worships, what's he worried about? A spiritual injection in one fellow called Paul. Somebody's pulling somebody's leg. Sincere? Boy, as sincere as all get out. Religious as you can get. As unionized as you can get. That's right. And look what he did to them. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of what? Wrath, full of anger, real teed off. Wrath means foaming at the gills. And they cried out, saying, "Great is thine of the Ephesians! Great is thine of the Ephesians! Great is thine of the Ephesians!" And they cried it so long that the whole city was filled with confusion. And then they went out to deprogram Gaius and Aristarchus. They caught Gaius and Aristarchus. They were looking for Paul, but they couldn't find Paul, so they took his buddies. They took his assistants. They took his Howard Allens and Walter Cumminses. Gaius and Aristarchus, men, companions in travel with Paul, and they rushed with one accord into the theater. The theater means the public square where the judgments were handed out, where people were tried. But it's a mob. The whole city was filled with confusion. And the reason it was filled with confusion is because here was a man who wanted to maintain the money structure that they had and wanted to maintain the religious fanaticism that was going around. So in order to maintain that money situation and that religion, he stirred up the people that they had a mob rule. And when you stir up the people and they become the vigilantes, they become so hot under the collar, they will take innocent people and just persecute them. That's exactly what they did to Gaius and Aristarchus. Gaius hadn't stolen from them. Aristarchus hadn't taken anything from them. All those men had ever done is just to bless them, love them, teach them the greatness of God's word, pray for them. Did that mean anything when it hit them in the pocketbook? Nope. When it cut across their wrong believing? Nope. Didn't stop them at all. They were absolutely convinced they were right. Someplace in the word it says every man's right in his own eyes. God judges the motives. They thought they were right. They thought they were doing the people a favor. They always do. When Paul would have entered in, he's not a fraidy cat. He didn't burn his spiritual draft card. When Paul would have entered in unto the people, the disciples, the believers, suffered him not to. They told him, "Don't do her, Paul." And certain of the chiefs of Asia Minor, these are top government men, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Don't go in. Verse 32. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly, and the word assembly is the word ecclesia, translated church at other places. Here it's a mob, all in confusion. It's a church. Same word. Were they religious? Sure. Definitely. But they were confused, and the most part knew not wherefore they were come together. The majority of the people did not really know why they were there. One man could so stir up the people that they not only did things indecently and out of order, but they persecuted people, good people like Gaius and Aristarchus, men who would do nothing but bless people. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with the hand and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of, listen to this, 2 hours, cried out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians! Great is Diana of the Ephesians! Great is Diana of the Ephesians!" You say it. Come on. Great is Diana of the Ephesians! Great! It's 20 of 7. Let's do it till 20 of 9. 2 hours! 2 hours, they cried. If you and I stood on the street corner in New Knoxville for 2 hours, and we dared cry, "Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son," they'd throw the whole lousy bunch of us in jail. And maybe they should. Because by that time, even the stones would be crying it out. But they did it 2 hours. 2 hours. Great is Diana the Ephesians. Finally, when the town's clerk had appeased the people, he said, "You men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how the city of Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana, and the image which fell down from Jupiter?" Why, everybody knows that. "Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly." Now, that's pretty good. If the religious organizations of our time are so solid, are so fantastic in the truth that they're teaching, what they stewing about? Why, it cannot be spoken against. You ought to be quiet. Don't do anything rashly. You all know that the great goddess of Diana of the Ephesians, that's the great god, that's the great... Everybody knows that.